we've been singing already about God and meeting Him face to face. Now, that's what we want. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's what prophecy really is all about, is meeting God face to face. Back in the Old Testament, so you might have read the same Bible reading as I did this morning, where Miriam and Aaron are complaining about Moses and having a go at him because he married a Midianite woman. And then God calls them. And He says this to them. He says, when the prophets receive from Me, normally it's in visions and dreams. But with Moses, I speak face to face.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, I believe that's what God wants to do with us day by day.
Yeah.
As we've come into this New Testament phase with God. I believe that's how He wants to be with us. So, a weekend of prophecy. Hearing God.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with hearing God. I'm going to start with, I'll outline the proceedings. I'd like this first session to be preparation. It's going to be preparation. And then I'd like this evening to start to use, how do you start prophesying? That's a big challenge.
Yeah.
You know, but firstly, preparation. And then, if you want to come back here on the Sunday, I know some of you might be from other churches, I'm going to speak about Ezekiel, the great prophet, when he gave the prophecy of dry bones. So that's the outline for the three sessions I'm going to do. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive what God's got for you?
Amen.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to start with is this. I want to start with your identity. I think one of the things, one of the greatest things that I believe the enemy has stolen is our identity. And until we know who we are, I don't believe we operate in the roles that God's got for us. And I believe so many situations, organizations, individuals don't know who they are. I think as a nation, at the moment, one of the reasons we Brexited is because some people wanted their identity back. They wanted England back. Not sure about the Scots and the Welsh, but I know the English wanted their identity back. That's part of the reason they Brexited. They wanted to say, we want to get back to who we are as a nation because we feel we're losing our identity. Am I right? This morning, Labour voted Jeremy Corbyn back in. Why? Because they want to get back to their identity. Jeremy Corbyn wants them to go back to their socialist principles. Whatever you think about him, whatever you think about him as a leader, when you listen to him, I've got a lot of time for him, and I listen to him, I can see that he's wanting them to go back to reach the people and where the people are. He's not a parliamentarian, that's pretty obvious. Okay? And he said when he started out, he said, I'm not going to enter into that circus. But it's very hard for him not to enter into that circus. Because that's where he's judged, sadly. And that's where the MPs have judged him. So, the nation, the Labour Party, the church. The church, I think, has lost its identity. I think churches, individually, your church, I would imagine since you moved here, how long have you been here now, Steve?
18 months.
18 months. I reckon your identity has changed. Got to. You know, you come from the outskirts into the inner city. You come from a community building to a Methodist church. Massive changes. Massive changes. And one of the greatest things for a pastor, one of the greatest revelations he needs and discovery he needs, is to know the identity of the church. He needs to know, what is it about? Who are we? What's our history? What is the strength that we've got in us? I was talking with our pastor recently. Praise the Lord, I've got a pastor again. I've been a pastor for 23 years, but now I've got a pastor again. And I was chatting to him, and I said about this coming year, because we tend to work from September to September. I said, you know, where are you going? What are you thinking? And he said, really, the things I'm trying to do are all to do with family, because this church, his identity is in love and family. And I thought, you've got it right. Praise God. He's been there nearly a year now. He started a year ago with me in September. He had 2 months, and then he started on his own in November when I retired. And he's doing a great job, just for those of you who want to know. But he's known the identity. One of the greatest problems as a pastor I ever had all those years, and all the years I've been counselling people, was people would come and would say to me, I don't know who I am. Even this last week, Anne and I were counselling one of our ladies. She came to see us. She asked if she could see us. And she's a good friend. And we got partway through the conversation, and it came again. I don't know who I am. She lost her identity. She didn't know who she was in God. And I believe as the enemy has stolen this, it has led so many of us as individuals to not finding our true potential in God. The reason we see a lack of spiritual gifts and also God-given roles in the church today is because we don't know who we are. We say of Jesus, he is prophet, priest, and king. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, the amen's here. Amen. Definitely from you, you're an Elin.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, he's prophet, priest, and king. Well, I want to tell you, your identity is this. Prophet, priest, and prince, stroke, princess. Three P's. I'm doing very well as a preacher now.
You are.
10 out of 10. 3 points. Prophet, priest, prince, stroke, princess. Okay. That's your identity. Do you know that? Well, I'm going to tell you until you really do know it. And if you don't know it, the Spirit's going to speak to you in this session. Listen to me now. I believe he's got something for everybody. He's your dad. You don't have favourites. He's got something for every one of you here today. All you've got to say is, I receive.
Yeah.
I want it. Whatever you've got for me, God, I want it. Whatever you've got for me, Father, I want it. So, I'd like to look at these three roles that are ours in Christ. These three identities that are ours in Christ. And I believe this is so important. Firstly, you are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. That's the truth. You're sons and daughters of the Kings of Kings. Now, if my English sounds me right, that means that I'm a prince or I'm a princess. And you're not just any prince or princess. You're a prince and princess of the King of Kings. Not just like Queen Elizabeth. That's good enough. But it's not as good as what you are. Do you believe me?
Amen.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
You've not earned it. You've been adopted into the family of God.
Yeah.
And God is your Father. You've got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 1, verse 5. I'll have you with your Bibles. If you're on iPhones or whatever, you'll get there quicker. Ephesians 1, 5. God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. It's a grace gift.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a grace gift. I believe there's been much teaching on the fatherhood of God over the years. I've sat under many ministries who've taught me about the fatherhood of God. But I don't know whether there's been a full understanding of what it means. There's been great emphasis that from the beginning we were made in the image of God. And that was stolen when Adam sinned. We lost it. But through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross, it's been regained.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah? So God made you just as you are.
Yeah.
My wife a few years ago, quite a few years ago in our church, some lady came up to her who had a real problem with her. Yeah, you get this as pastor's wives. And came up to her and started to have a go at her. And Anne stopped her, so be careful with this lady. And she stopped her and said, whoa, whoa, stop a minute. If God's pleased with me, what's your problem? Because God made you as you are.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
That's who you are. That's how he made you. And he's happy with that. So get on with it. You see, we're back in our son-daughter relationship with our father. Not only do we have within us the character of God, hallelujah, yeah, all those things in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, yeah, I'm sure you exhibit these all the time. Love, joy, peace, patience. I know Steve's absolutely overflowing with that. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Bible tells us we now live by the Spirit.
Yeah,
am I right?
That's right?
We can't live any other way.
Yeah.
You're not going back to the old days. Forget that. That's no good. Every day, we've got to live by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And when you're in front of 33 kids, it's hard, isn't it? Yeah? I remember going into my teaching practice in one of the worst schools in Manchester, and my tutor had already given me a bad time, and there he was waiting outside the classroom as I went in to teach this class. As I walked in the class, God said to me, I'm already here. I'm already here.
Yeah.
That was enough for me. I passed everything. I got good grades. Praise God. We live by the Spirit. Now, I want you to get a full grasp of this. Because when God says, you're my son, you're my daughter, not only has he put in us the fruit of the Spirit, not only have we received the Holy Spirit in full, so he is in you, whoa, this is getting serious now.
Yeah.
He's in you.
Yeah.
The word says he's in you, over you, and around you.
Amen.
That's a total.
Yeah.
That's how it is. That's the reality. That's the truth. Yeah. You've been singing about freedom. That's the truth. Live it. Yeah. Believe it. So Spirit, not only is he that, I want you to grasp this, but he's also put in you the supernatural ability that was in Jesus Christ. Oh dear. Now this makes you qualify to be like Spider-Man, Superman and Batman.
Wow.
And there's many others now, isn't there? I don't know them all. Iron Man. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you climbing up buildings and, you know, zooming off here, there and everywhere. But the reality is, he has put that supernatural ability in you and me to do amazing things.
Amen.
There's no more amazing thing than raising somebody from the dead. None. I don't see Spider-Man doing it, Superman doing it, Batman. I've not seen it. Now, they all are great. They all that I've seen, the films I've seen, they're all doing it for the good of the people. And that's great. But actually, nothing compared with what God's put in you.
Wow.
I want you to grasp this.
Yeah.
He's put a supernatural ability in you.
Yeah.
It's yours because you're a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. It's part of your makeup. It's part of who you are. That's why we can operate in the things of the Spirit. Because we have that supernatural ability in us. Jesus said of us, didn't he? He said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father.
Yeah.
So I'm not, this isn't something I'm making up.
No.
This is something that Jesus has said. That's the truth.
Yeah.
The same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus and the apostles is in you.
Yeah.
Same one. It's not second, third, fourth grade. This is the same Holy Spirit that's in you. Ephesians 1, we're still there, verse 13. And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. Look at that. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, it's there, bump, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Then jump to verse 19. Look at this. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. Look at this. Which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. Not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That's what God has done in you.
Amen.
That's what God has done in you. So that's the first thing. You're a prince. You're a princess. You have to get your tiara on tonight when you come. The second identity I think we've lost in the church is the priest. That you are priests or priestesses. That's who you are. That's your identity. Luther in the 16th century preached this doctrine. The priesthood of all believers. He preached another doctrine called the doctrine of private judgment. Where basically it was saying that you can hear God for yourself. The reason, what happened to him, because he preached it so fervently, he died. They killed him. He was martyred. But he was the one in the 16th century who brought this truth to the church. And we've lived that truth ever since. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. But again, what I want to challenge you with is, do you live in the freedom of it? In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, we know the scripture, many of us. It says this. But you are a chosen people.
Yes.
A royal priesthood. Look at that. A royal priesthood. You're not just a priesthood. You're a royal priesthood. There's the royalty again. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. We've been singing about it. A people belonging to God. There's a sermon here, but I haven't got time to go into it. That you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once, here it is, this is key. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. There's your identity. You see the truth of the identity, how important it is to us to know who we are. You're a priest. In Exodus 19, just take you back a bit. Your Bible's Exodus 19. Just before Moses went up to the mountain and received the Ten Commandments, he was hearing from God. And in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, it says this. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So from the outset, God wanted his people to be a kingdom of priests.
Yeah.
That's how it was to be. He wanted everybody to be a priest. Turn to Exodus 20, verses 18 and 19. Moses has been up the mountain, he's received the Ten Commandments. And it says this, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. That's a significant line. God wanted to speak to all of them. Always. He wanted to speak to every one of them, individually and together as a nation. He wanted to speak to them. But they refused it. And from this moment on, this is the last time that God spoke audibly to the people as a whole. It's the last time. God, from the beginning of Genesis, has wanted to speak to us. From the beginning. Now, it's interesting, is if you research what happens, is in the beginning, God wants to speak to us. And then in the New Testament, we have Jesus come, the Gospels. He is the Word of God. He speaks the Word of God. He proclaims the Word of God. So he's speaking through Jesus. Okay, so you've got a development taking place. But then you'll find that in John 16, just turn to John 16. I may touch on this again later. In John 16, you'll see that it changes again. And he starts to speak through the Holy Spirit. Okay, we'll pick it up at verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. This is Jesus speaking. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. And you'll see in that chapter, I'll develop it later, you'll see in that chapter that we've had this movement. God, the Father speaking. God speaking. Jesus speaking. And then suddenly, Jesus leaves. He says there, I've got to go because I've got to send somebody. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, and he's the one now who speaks the Word of God. So there's been a change. There's been a movement take place in hearing the Word of God. So when we hear the Word of God now, in prophecy, alright, in wisdom, in interpretation of tongues, it's the Spirit of God that is speaking to us. Just so you're clear where it's coming from. When I became pastor, like most pastors, I was frightened. It's a big task. I'd served a pastor for many years. I've been in my present church for over 40 years. 40 something years. And so when I took over as pastor, I knew how difficult it could be. And I came to God and I cried out to God and I lay prostrate before God many times. And God spoke to me. And this is where I think the kind of prophetic started to impact me personally more and more. And God said to me, Ray, he said, every day you meet with me, I want you to give me an open page. And I will speak to you. Every day. So I have a diary. I buy a diary for a couple of quid. Yeah? One of these cheap pound shops, you know. Or £2 shops in my case. And I use it. And every day, as I'm doing my quiet time, I believe God will speak to me through his word. Every day. When I have an open page, he speaks to me. I'll be honest, there are some days I don't open the page. I'm being honest now. God doesn't speak to me. But every day I open that word, God speaks to me. And he's, you know, he shares things with me. And even today, you know, he spoke to me about Moses and stuff. But he also spoke to me about Joseph. Yeah? Even today, he spoke to me about Joseph and the dreams. And the thing I found about this, and I'm sure it's those who move in the prophetic, you'll find it. He got rejected by his brothers and by his dad. You know, he wasn't the most popular guy. So don't think popularity comes with this gift. But God will speak to you. He gave me one other thing as well. This was key. He said, look at your hands. And I looked at my hands like this. I said, what do you see? I see open hands. He said, that's how I want them to be. He said, I want you to keep open hands all the way through your ministry. He said, because the people are not your people, they're my people. Don't hold on to them. Don't hold on to them. They're mine. And if they go, they go. If they stay, they stay. I would probably say I've had one of the most stable congregations most churches have ever had. I've had guys who are still with me after 40 years. Still there. Still working with me. That's how it is, you know. Not sought to hold on to anybody. When somebody comes to me and says, you know, I had one guy, he was my administrator. And he'd been with me a few years, and I hope I'd put a lot into his life over those years. Because we worked closely, we met every day, we prayed every day together. And then he rang me up on holiday. He was working part-time for me, part-time for a company. Rang me up while we were on holiday, and he said, right, he said, I've had an offer from this company. They want me to go full-time. And he said, what do you think? And I said, well, give me a few days just to pray about it. So I prayed about it. And I rang him back and I said, do what God's telling you to do. And is that reasonable? Does that sound... That's fair enough, doesn't it? And I got back from there and I thought, something not right here. And his whole kind of attitude and demeanour had changed. And I couldn't twig this, you know, because I'd just been honest with him, I'd been open with him. We'd blessed them in various ways, my wife and I, over the years. And I just couldn't twig this. And I had to seek God about it. I said, Lord, what's going on here? And what it was this. He wanted me to basically say, oh, don't go, don't go, don't go. I want you to stay, stay, stay. You know, you're so important to me. Well, that's not my way. It's just not who I am. And I think, you know, the guy didn't realize. And so he's gone. And he left the church within 2 or 3 months after that. So we've got to be listening. We've got to be in tune with God all the time. See, the priest in the Old Testament was often the go-between God and the people. He was the one in the middle. He was the middleman. Now, we do find still that in some churches today, that's still the case. Now, you may think, well, I know those denominations. Well, I think we've even got it in some of our churches. Because the man sets himself up in such a manner that the people go to him all the time. And so their relationship with God is not a one-to-one relation. They don't know him as their own father. They don't know him as their own priest. They don't know they can go directly to God. They don't have to have somebody in between. I want to give you a warning. If you go to Africa on missionary work and you speak, we've been used in Africa, they will give you a title straight away. You will be called the man of God. That's the title they'll give you. Oh, here's the man of God. And you might think, wow. Wow, I've made it. I'm the man of God. You need to know this. What they're basically saying is this. If I ever have any problems, I'm coming to you. Because you're the man of God. So if I haven't got food on my table, I'm coming to you. If I've got illness in my family, I'm coming to you. I've known pastors there who've woken up in the morning, they've opened the curtains, and there's been people outside their house waiting for them. Because they're the man of God. Don't do it. We're all priests. Hallelujah. Amen. That's your status. That's who you are. That's your identity. And because of that, because you're all priests, you can all hear from God yourself. Yeah, this is what Luther was preaching. He was basically preaching not only the priesthood of all believers, but this thing called private, where you can hear about any situation for yourself. But it means also God blesses some people, mainly with the gift of prophecy. I'll come on to that now in a minute, where he'll give you words for other people too. But don't put yourself in that place or try to replace their position with their dad, or their position as a priest with the King of Kings.
That's right.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't set yourself up in that way. So that's the second thing. Prince, princess, priest. Two P's, am I doing well?
Yeah.
We might have an early tea. Third one, prophet. Now, let me just be clear, there's a distinction here I need to bring between the gift of prophecy and the gift to the church of the role of a prophet. All right, are we all clear on that one?
Yes.
There's the gift of prophecy, which is one of the Holy Spirit gifts, all right, but also this gift to the church of the role of a prophet. Some people want you to use a small P when you're talking about the gift of prophecy and a big P when you're talking about the prophet. But they both need to realize they are both grace gifts.
Yeah.
One to the individual and the other to the church.
Yeah.
In the New Covenant, turn to Acts 2, you know the scripture well. Acts 2 verse 17. In the last days, look at this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on, again,
all
people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Is there any exclusions there? Is anybody excluded? I don't think so. Your young men will see visions. I want to tell you, I'm still young.
Yeah. Amen.
Because I don't get dreams, but I do get visions.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous sitting next to me in a church. That's why he sat in the back row over there. Okay. What I find a bit interesting here, just a slight thing, I thought, well, how was it Joseph was a young man, but he got dreams? Anyhow, I haven't got time to go into that one. But it says, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, there's no sexuality here, no discerning between the two. No, they're equal. Men and women, are you hearing me, women?
Yeah.
Hearing me?
Yeah.
Don't worry, they're sitting behind you fellas. Oh, he'll do it. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they, plural, will prophesy. I'll stop there. All types of people are going to prophesy. In fact, I believe everybody has the ability to prophesy.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
every one of you in here has the ability to prophesy. John Wimber, who's a well-respected guy who taught on the things of the Spirit and practiced it, he used to believe that when you're using the gifts of the Spirit, it's a bit like a toolbox. So I see the gifts of the Spirit like a toolbox. And he said, which person would try and knock a nail in with a screwdriver? You just wouldn't do it. It's not what you would do. And he believes that you've got this box available to you. Now, I can understand where he was saying it, but I believe at the same time that the Spirit distributes severally as he wills, as the scripture says. But all types of people can prophesy, instead of a few. Again, I go back, everyone is a priest, and can hear the direct, audible voice of God. Now, I tend to hear it. Sometimes I get pictures. But sometimes, he'll start me off with just a few words. And my response often when I'm sat there is, God, why me? Why not him? You know, why me again? But that's how it is. And God says, get on with it. Much prophetic ministry is imparted by the impressions of the Holy Spirit and what I still call the still small voice of God. He will do this. This is how he does it. Now, instead of stoning the prophets, you're going to be all right if you get it wrong in today's age. You wouldn't have been in the Old Testament, pretty serious. Instead of stoning the prophets, we're instructed to judge and discern that which they speak, to know if it is from God. And before I came, in one of my telephone conversations with Steve, so Steve, I said, when we do this, when the prophecies begin to flow, I said, I want us to be taped. I want somebody else with us who can. And then I'd prefer somebody, you know, if it's directional, like yourself, to be there, because it just needs checking out. Now, Steve knows me, right? He knows me, he trusts me.
Yes.
Okay, and that's key. And I'm sure he knows John likewise, and he trusts him. So that, you know, when if that happens with us over this time, then, you know, he's got that trust. He knows who we are. And that's one of the tests that you've got in the New Testament. Know them. You know, so don't just accept prophecies off anybody. Not good. Not a good idea. When it's quotes in the last days here, I just want to say that began with the cross, the resurrection, the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. That's when I believe the last days started.
Yes.
Yes. Not talking end times here, we're talking in the last days.
Right.
Okay. Now, I also need to say to you, there are people with valid gifts of the Holy Spirit, hear me, who are themselves still carnal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Doesn't invalidate the gift. God uses them. What may surprise you is that people can express valid gifts of the Spirit. You themselves can have some pretty significant hang-ups as well. That's the truth. I remember going to the Dale's Bible Week. Some of you remember the Dale's Bible Week?
Oh, yes.
And they did a seminar, and I thought it was a great, great title for a seminar. Hang up your hang-ups. I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant seminar. I didn't think I had any, so I didn't go. But also, there are people with these hang-ups, and they might even have unresolved issues in their lives. But it doesn't disqualify them. It doesn't disqualify them. I think the reason is that God wants to smash something sometimes with this. The implication is, for many people in the church, that only the most spiritual, the most mature, the most righteous people are those who have these prolific gifts. It's not true. And it needs smashing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at the apostles. I mean, who'd have chosen that bag of frogs there? I mean, who'd have picked them? We just wouldn't have picked them. Would we? Not one of them. Not what I could go through, I haven't got time, but I just wouldn't have had them. Jesus, they were the guys. Who'd have picked Judas? What was all that about? Work that one out. I'm sure there's a thesis there somewhere. God at times, you see, what he does, he offends the mind to reveal the heart. That's what he does. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, says this. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, he's not saying he's great, you know, in the wrong sense. He's just saying it'll have greater effect because you can actually, you know, hear it, what it's saying. Now, I'm going to talk about that later on this evening. But he wants all to prophesy. The implication from it is all can prophesy. So this afternoon, you need to know who you are. You need to know what is your inheritance in Christ. We don't qualify to be a prophet, a priest, and a prince or princess. They're yours by grace.
That's right.
It's not knowledge. It's not qualification. It's not even character. It's just like salvation. It's a free gift. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. I'm going to stop preaching that. I don't know where we're going to go now. I'm just open to the Spirit. It may be there are some people here today and I've touched on some things about who you are. And you know you're not living in that inheritance. You're not living in that truth. Only the Holy Spirit can tell you that. Only the Holy Spirit, as I'm speaking now, can be putting his finger on saying, that's you. And I want you, you know, like any father figure, and that's, I've become a grandfather in the church now, but I was a father figure. But any dad wants the best for his kids. He really does. And God wants the best for you today. He doesn't want you to stay in that place. And he wants to talk to you about it. He wants to bless you. I want to also say that, I haven't spoken on this, but if you've never been baptized in the Spirit, over this weekend, I believe God's going to speak to you about that too. Because that's where you begin. Alright? I am talking to the converted. Alright? Because obviously that's the first thing. But besides that, then, you know, God will speak to you about the baptism of the Spirit. So I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come.
Yeah.
I've already prayed this. I've been preparing this for quite a number of weeks. And way back when I started preparing it, and my big thing is this. God, you've got to be there.
Yeah.
If you aren't there, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I've got to stay at home and watch United win 4-1.
Amen.
That's him. He's not coming tonight. No. But I just want to allow the Holy Spirit. He said he was here. He said, I'm going to be there, Ray. Don't worry.